of the last of, yeah, probably we discussed last time also how you could basically encode a process with certain entropy, and where entropy gives you this limit of average word length you could use for the encoding, so if you don't want to lose any information. But actually, if when you work with real-world time series, this becomes a little bit more complicated. So, for example, we can have a binary time series. Let's say there are some process which goes like this. If you would consider only like letters, so one time step. So this is T1, T2, and so on. So inference this probability distribution from this. So I say probability that sigma is 0, it will be 1/2. And probability that sigma is 1 will be 1/2. Well, this would give you an entropy of log with base 2 of 2, which is 1 bit. Well, I mean, obviously this is not correct because, I mean, this series is completely predictable. It's a periodic series, 0, 1, 0, 1. There is no uncertainty about what will come next. So, and you could see this. If you take actually, if you consider words of length 2, so you may, for example, you'd say that probability of, let's do like this, 0, 0, probability of 1, 0, probability of 0, 1, and probability of 1, 1. State. And so obviously this is 0, this is 0, this is 0, and we put this to 1. And then from here we get entropy equals 0, which should be the case. So what this means in general, problem is you have to find this like characteristic time scales of the process first. So you have to know when the, so example, time dependencies in time series on how many previous states. And okay, so you could check out the list, and if you don't like the date somehow, maybe we could change this. So in this case, characteristic time we know, yeah, it's obvious. So characteristic time scale is 2. But in general, we are not familiar maybe with underlying process generating this series, and we cannot make any like assumptions. So what can we do here? And like a strategy would be to employ like a minimal entropy principle. Got the title here, which is important for the videos. Information content. Of the real world. Time series. Okay, so, and what this minimal entropy principle tells you is that so you should consider all possible symbolization procedure of a time series and choose the one which gives you minimal entropy. So I mean, in practice, this would mean that you would take like words of length 2, 3, 4, 5, and like all the way to infinity, or also words of variable lengths, and choose the symbolization which is the most predictable one. In a way, there is the minimum uncertainty about what will happen during the next time step. And well, in practice, problem with this is that in theory this works fine, but in practice you never have infinite time series first of a process. You have just some finite data set, and from this, because of this, you cannot also consider all possible symbolizations. And in one of the following sections, we will discuss how can this be solved. Actually, this excess entropy is something which could help you. Actually, the rate of change. Okay. Any questions here? No. Okay. Let's start now with first, before we go to mutual information, we'll discuss something called Kullback-Leibler divergence. So in the script, hello. This is explained after mutual information, but this is somehow more fundamental concept. So I will actually everything can be derived from here. Hello. So let's consider the following problem. We have some process X which is generated from some unknown probability distribution P of X. So we don't know what is the real what is the probability distribution which generates this process. But what we know is some model distribution Q of X. So this is either some theoretical model of the data you have. And in general, this will be different. I mean, almost all the time, it will be different from from the real underlying distribution. But so what you could now estimate is if you encode this process X, if you want to derive an encoding scheme for this process based on Q, how much information you will lose on average by doing this? Or actually, how much extra number of bits you need to encode this process? And this is given by so-called Kullback-Leibler divergence, which tells you exactly this number of bits. And so for continuous, it can be defined for both continuous and discrete variables, dx, and so equivalently, so let's say if we have a discrete probability distribution. So one of the nice properties about Kullback-Leibler divergence is that it's always larger or equal to zero. So we will show this. And the second nice property is that in continuous case, if you change the dual variable transformation, the Kullback-Leibler divergence doesn't change. Basically because you have these two terms which cancel out each other. So for this reason is somehow more fundamental concept than this differential entropy, so Shannon entropy in general. And so in information theory, usually it's used as a distance measure between two probability distributions. I mean, it's not really a distance measure, that's why it's called divergence, because it's not symmetric. So KL, so if you inverse, interchange these two probabilities, so Kullback-Leibler divergence will be different. So basically, like distance from P to Q is different than distance from Q to P. But it has all these other properties of the distance, so it's positive. And when P equals Q, it has to be zero. Well, actually, it's zero only and if P equals Q. If and only if. And, well, actually, there is another way to write this. So you can see you could write this as let's call it H of P Q minus H of P. Or this is now called cross entropy. And this is just the entropy of this the underlying process. And actually, there is also another way to look at this. So basically, this is some unknown probability distribution. This is Q. This would be, well, actually, you couldn't calculate this, but anyway, this tells you, in this sense, the information loss. But let's say that if Q is the maximal entropy distribution, so let's use the discrete case, so Qi is 1 over S. So it's a uniform distribution. Then you could see that Kullback Leibler divergence of P with respect to Q will be, so we have cross entropy, which is minus integral of P of, not integral, let's do the sum over I Pi ln of Qi minus entropy of P. So as Qi is 1 over S, and sum of I over all Pi is 1, so sum over I of all Pi's is 1, we will have here ln of S, which is just the so maximal entropy. And so in this sense, this also tells you the information gain. So basically, how much information you gained by knowing distribution P and not the uniform distribution, which is the state of maximal uncertainty when you don't know anything about the system. So it's just basically the difference between H max and the entropy you know about. So in this case, P would be some known distribution. Okay, and we could use now, we could now show the positiveness of the Kullback-Leibler divergence. Again, you could define this for any base of the logarithm, 2 or 10, or well, whatever makes sense in the way. Just natural logarithms, shorter to write. And yeah, okay, so this is positive and equal only when p equals q. So for this, we can to show this, we can use again Jensen inequality, or maybe it's also pronounced Jensen inequality, but I'm not sure if it's English name. For concave function. F. So if F is convex, then this is just inverted. But logarithm is concave transformation, so concave means that so it looks like this, or like this, but also this part is only concave, and convex is goes like this. Basically, this is generalization of the claim that so any basically straight line between two points is always so the values on the straight line are always smaller than or equal than the values on the F on the transformation. And so we have that our F of x is ln, so x, and we choose x to be, so now q over p. P. So this gives us ln, so we change ln here. This is now expectation value of p over of q over p, which is just ln of integral p of x, so q of x over c of x dx, or sum if you prefer, and this will cancel out, and this sums to 1. So we get here 0. On the, this is the left side of the inequality, so we have that 0 is larger equal than expectation value. So now integral of dx p of x times ln of of x over p of x. And this is actually negative KL divergence. So we get, after multiplying with minus 1, that KL of PQ larger equal than 0. Let me see, I could do another example, maybe. So, see, we choose again, we could choose so some binary state variable, let's say P of 0. Is 1/2 and P of 1/2, and we could take Q of 0 to be alpha and Q of 1 is 1 minus alpha. Let's consider Kullback-Leibler divergence of P with respect to Q. So as I said before, this will be just ln of 2 minus now the entropy of so entropy will be minus alpha ln alpha minus 1 minus alpha ln 1 minus alpha As you can see, in this case, we have if alpha goes to 1 or 0, Kullback-Leibler divergence goes just to ln 2. So this is when the case when the process is certain. So you're certain that either 0 or 1 will show up in every time step. But we can also see what if we invert this. So calculate now will be sum over I qi ln qi over I. And so this will give us C alpha ln of 2 alpha plus 1 minus alpha ln 2 times 1 minus alpha. And in the limit, so in this case, when alpha goes to 0 or 1, this goes to minus infinity. Minus infinity. No, 0, yeah, 0. And okay, this is hard to interpret in this sense. So if you would represent a certain process with a with so undefined process in a way. So maximal uncertainty, you would lose infinite number of bits. So basically, you lose all the information you had. It's so. First, yeah. Okay, I have to repeat now everything. I mean, yeah. Watch the movie. It tells you just the information loss or external number of bits you need to transfer the information about x. If you use a model distribution Q of X instead of the real distribution P. So one way, there is another way. Okay, now we move from one-dimensional time series, in a way, to multi-dimensional. And okay, first step would be to consider two-dimensional. And what you want in this case is somehow to describe statistical dependencies of the elements, so in the same multidimensional system. And for two-dimensional case, nice concept is so-called mutual information. So what this tells you is the amount of information which two processes are sharing in a way.
Let me see.
Okay, and introduce this through an example. So let's consider following two-channel process. See, so some we have some variable sigma at t plus 1 is XOR of sigma times t and some other variable tau at times t. And we have the tau at t plus 1 changes as so same way as sigma with some probability 1 minus I hope this letter is called psi, but I'm not sure. And negation of this with probability psi. Is it called like this? How do you call this letter? No. The letter. Greek letter. Psi. Okay. I always mix few of them. Okay, so it's easy to, maybe it's not this easy, but when psi is zero, this always goes to, this time series goes independent from the initial conditions to, so sigma tau equals zero, zero state. So it's a stationary state attractor. Okay, so for the case when psi is non-zero, we could have something like this, for example. So let's see, we read this from right to left now. So for example, we will have here zero. So initial state could be like 0, 1, then we will get 1, 1, then 0, and this should be 0, 0, but because of the noise, this bit will flip to 1 maybe, then we can get 1, 1, then 0, 0 for some time until again this, we get a bit flip, and then we can have 1, 1, and again. So we will have some. Basically, we get some perturbations from this stationary state occasionally. And let's now calculate what is P of sigma tau. So P of T plus 1 sigma tau. We're interested, so how the probability, to the probability changes in the next time step, so we can take 0, 0, 0, 1, P of T plus 1 of 1, 0, and P of T plus 1 of 1, 1. So this would be sigma, this would be tau. So in order to get sigma 0, we need either sigma and tau in previous time steps to be 0, 0, or 1, 1. So from this we get that P probability previous time step seeing 0, 0 plus probability previous time step of seeing 1, 1 contributes to this probability in the next time step. Hello. And of course, in order to get tau to be 0, we need so XOR to happen, that there is no bit flips in this sense due to the noise. So we multiply this with probability 1 minus psi. OK? And so similar for all the other distributions. So again, we have these two contribute to seeing sigma equals 0. But now from this state, we go to tau equals 1 with probability psi. Again, to see sigma equals 1. Now we have PT of 0, 1 plus probability previous time step of seeing this 1, 0 times again. So tau would also be 1 if XOR happens, it probably 1 minus psi, but with probability psi we will see 0 here because of neg XOR. And finally, the only possibility left is seeing 1, 1 in next time step. So, and I mean, this is of course true on for some time series ensemble. So you average over many time series. This will turn out to be the case. And you want, of course, this joint probability distribution to be normalized. So the all possibilities have to sum into 1. So because of that, we could sum so this and this term together, and this term together. So the these values in the brackets will sum to 1. So what we get is that P of t plus 1, 0, 0 is 1 minus. Plus P of t plus 1, 1, 1 equals 1 minus psi. And P of t plus 1, 0, 1 plus is psi. And of course, we are interested now in stationary solutions. So the point when where this and the probability won't change anymore. So in general this doesn't exist, but luckily in this case we can find it. So we just remove all the t's here and so on. We use the same relations. So if you put now this value, you could import it here and here, so you will get it substitute. That P of 0, 0 is 1 minus C squared. Okay, P of 1, 1 is then 1 minus psi times psi. P of 0, 1 is same, and P of 1, 0 will be psi squared. Okay, and from so you have that P of 0, 0 plus P of 1, 1 is 1 minus psi. And you have that P of 0, 0 is 1 minus psi times 1 minus psi. And you do it for each one of them. And from here we could also estimate the marginal distributions of P of sigma when we sum over all taus of joint probability distribution and P of tau when we sum over all sigmas. So we will have sigma equals 0. Let's see, 1 minus. So we sum this and this one. We will get 1 minus psi. And for sigma equals 1. We have to sum then this one and this one, and we get psi. Yeah, obviously. And similar for tau equals 0 and tau equals 1. So for tau equals 0, we sum this one and this one. Again, we get the same. Now, yeah, we know this, so we can estimate, let's call this P sigma, P tau, and P joint probability distribution, the entropies of so each of individual processes and of the joint process, of joint probability distribution, and H of P. And mutual information is given as a difference between sum of entropies of individual process. So let's see what notation did professor use here. Entropy of P sigma plus entropy of P tau minus the joint entropy of the joint process, so, which is nothing else but Kullback-Leibler divergence of so joint probability distribution and product of marginals. So recalling what Kullback-Leibler divergence tells us, this is actually basically difference in difference in number of bits of the let's see how to term this. So it's easier just so this would be sum over sigma tau P of sigma tau P of sigma tau over P of sigma of tau. So if you would assume that the processes are independent, instead of taking into account that there exist actually some correlations between them, though there is some joint probability defining them, this would tell you the extra number of bits you need to transfer information about this joint probability. Or in the other sense, so if you would look at this as the So the entropy, basically, of the two independent processes is maximal, in a way, compared to when the to the case when there is there are some correlations. So this would give you this would tell you again some information gain. So the information you gain by finding out, for example, that there exists actually some correlation in this system. And so let's see. Okay, then we can make a break. And I could so draw this plot during the break, but there was no time. So let's see, this is psi from 0 to 1/2. And this here will be entropy in bits. We have entropy here. Why would entropy of maybe I made some mistakes somewhere. This is strange. It seems there is a mistake here. But why? So this is 1 minus 2 psi, 1 minus psi. Because this is 2 times psi. This makes sense, of course. So we have sum of this and this and tau equals 0, and this will be this cannot be correct. Right, let's calculate. So P of tau equals P of tau for tau equals 0 is P of 0, 0, which is 1 minus psi square plus P of 1, 0, which is psi square. Yeah, which is nothing. Minus 2 psi. Okay, this makes sense. So 2 psi squared minus 2 psi plus 1 is 1 minus 2 psi minus 1 psi. Okay. This is correct. The previous form was not correct. Okay, so this explains why the I made a mistake. So now let's see what is the how entropy of tau changes with psi. Let's say it goes something like this. So it should be for psi equals 1/2. This is 1/2, so it should be 1 bit somewhere. Something like this, and for this will be h of p tau, and for sigma, it will go something like this. And as you can see here, so when psi is 1/2, these are all probabilities are 1/4/4, so 0.25. So the entropy will be 2 bits. So it has to go to converge to this value somehow. So the joint entropy will go something like this. This will be one point here. So h of p, and the sum of these entropies of individual processes are should be something like this. So a bit larger in this area than joint entropy, and it's also converging to 2 bits. Oh well, this is the same value here. So this would be h of p sigma plus h of p tau. And as you can see this difference here, so this area is actually the mutual information. So if you would, I mean, you could find the maximum of mutual information with respect to psi by so this invariance calculus. You express everything in terms of psi, so this is some long expression, and then so somewhere here will be the maximum. It's not written where it should be. So and as you can see, of course, if process is stationary, so there is only one possible outcome, all the entropies will be zero, and of course mutual information will be zero. If the process is so maximally uncertain, so for psi equals 1/2, so all the entropies are maximal, but also mutual information is again zero. So when you have completely independent process. Basically, psi goes to 1/2, the sigma and tau become decorrelated completely. They don't share any information. So by knowing sigma, you cannot tell anything about tau and vice versa. And so in between somewhere is so-called the interesting part, where there are some statistical and dependencies. And actually, so again, I hope this was clear, but mutual information must be larger than zero. So it's just Kullback-Leibler, special case of Kullback-Leibler divergence. And there are some, so there are again different ways to write this mutual information. So E of sigma p, and each of this gives a certain interpretation, so of what this tells you. You could also write it as, for example, H of P sigma minus conditional entropy H of P sigma given tau. So there, P of sigma given tau is, so if you remember that the product rule and all the Bayesian rule, so you have P of sigma tau is basically P of joint probability distribution divided by P of tau. So you can see this from here. You write this term as P of sigma given tau. And then conditional entropy is defined as minus sum over sigma tau P of sigma tau ln P of sigma given tau. Conditional entropy. So conditional entropy. So for example, if you write it in this form, you could interpret mutual information as an uncertainty about sigma. So basically, how much the uncertainty about sigma is reduced by knowing tau. So if you know tau, how much you know about sigma, actually, in this sense. So if you observe tau in some state, what this tells you? I mean, this is the answer. So this is the uncertainty about sigma given tau is conditional entropy. So if you see tau equals zero, what can sigma be? So this what conditional entropy tells you. And this is just the entropy, uncertainty about sigma in general. So without, independent of tau. No, I get this formula from this one.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. Well, I mean, you just write this as P of sigma given tau.
Yeah.
Right? And then you, this will become sum over P of sigma tau ln P of sigma given tau minus sum of P of S sigma ln P of sigma. So where u sum over tau, because second term doesn't depend. I don't understand the question.
I think there is a problem that I don't understand the conditional entropy.
Okay, why? Oh,
I think
this is just what the definition of conditional entropy.
No, this right now the formula. I think that the output of the Ln should be the conditional probability, and also the inside the Ln should be the conditional.
Write it like this. So, it's maybe clearer this way if you write it. This would be the average uncertainty about sigma. This term would just tell you, given the tau, so given the sigma, so for a specific case of sigma, what was the uncertainty? And equivalently, so we have any more space to write this. So minus h of p equals h of p sigma minus conditional entropy of P of sigma given tau. And equivalently, you could also say the entropy of tau minus the conditional entropy of tau given sigma. So these are our equivalent forms of writing mutual information. So in a way, you could see that somehow what the maximal value mutual information could have is h of p sigma from this. So when conditional entropy is zero, basically when the sigma is completely defined by tau. So if you observe tau in state zero, for example, you are sure that sigma will be one. So probability is one there. Then this will all sum to zero. And of course, the larger the sigma is, entropy of sigma is, then the larger the mutual information will be. But actually, I maybe forgot to mention something. But we have in entropy this term. So P, ln P. So when P goes to 0 or 1, this has to go to 0. So basically, the terms certain and completely uncertain, possible terms, don't contribute to entropy. I said this before. I mean, you could, so for one is obvious, but for zero, you could show this limit by using L'Hopital theorem, for example.
Okay. Let's see. Page is missing.
Okay, you could ask me questions while I search for the next page. Here it is. Okay, so how would you, for example, generalize mutual information to more than two variables? So, I mean, there is no general way to do this, basically. Sir? For example. Okay.
The entropy of the two of the variables together.
Okay. Okay, let's. Write this down. Let's say we have like set of n random variables. So what would be the mutual information of so this? What was your suggestion?
Maybe I was wrong. I just said
No, just okay, so we have sum over I h of, let's say, pi. So this would be the marginal entropies. And we have a joint entropy of p of x1, xn minus.
Two. I just
said that. Okay, with some okay, let's write. So this would be also again marginal distribution of the joint probability distribution of two. H of P I J. Minus.
Yeah. And then plus the entropy of the joint probability of all of that. But it, I said it for the case that there are three processes. And
okay, but in the limit of two variables, this doesn't go to mutual information. These two will cancel out, and you just have the this. So, I mean, this could work without this stuff. So, let's call this version one. Maybe. Now, I mean, if we look at this form, so let's see, if we have two variables, this will be h of p1 plus h of p2 minus the joint probability distribution. I mean, the easiest way to generalize this is just sum of phi pi minus the joint probability distribution. Now, if we look at the condition form, for example, P of 1 minus conditional entropy of P of 1 conditioned on 2, then you could generalize this as a one way would be sum of all the individual entropies minus sum of conditional entropies of let's say pi condition on so all the other variables in the set except the eth one, so something like this. So you just sum over all conditional entropies. Let's say x1 condition on 2 up to n, x2 condition of from x1 to x3 to n, and so on. Yeah, I mean, if you go to the limit of two variables. Yeah, they were right. We will have, let's see, h of p1 minus, let's see, h of p1 given 2. Plus h of p2 minus h of p1 given, p2 given 1. Yeah, this doesn't really. Let me see, what was the joint probability distribution should be. Of conditional on 1 given 2. Let's write this. So for example, P of x1, x2. This can be also integral, of course. P of x1, x2. So we can write this as integral of dx1 dx2 integral of p of x1 x2 ln of p of x1 given x2 p of x2 2, for example. So this becomes then, there is minus here, of course, and minus here. So this will be conditional entropy of P, so x1 condition x2 plus entropy of P of x2. So we could use this to, for example, put here, h of p1 minus, so we express conditional to joint and marginal and entropy of the marginal, so minus h of p plus h of p2. Yeah, this doesn't sound plus h of p2. Minus h of p, we could also express, so inverse this, so it will be p of x2 conditional x1 plus p of x1. So we then again get another joint probability distribution plus h of p1. Yeah, so this will be 2 times the mutual information of in the limit of p1 and p2, or x1 and x2. So yeah, close enough, up to a factor of 2. Yep, okay.